Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Bondage.
Bharat Bhasha offers the proper land and circumstances in which to execute devotional service, which can free one from the results of jhana and karma. If one obtains a human body in the land of Bharatvarsha with clear sensory organs with which to execute the Sankirtan Yajna, but in spite of this opportunity, he does not take to devotional service, he is certainly like liberated forest animals and birds that are careless and are therefore again bound by a hunter. In the land of Bharatvarsha, one can very easily perform the Sankirtan Yajna, which consists of Shravan, Kirtanam, Vishnu, or one can perform other methods of devotional service such as Smaranam, Vandanam, Archanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, and Atma Nivedanam. In Bharatvarsha, one has the opportunity to visit many holy places, especially Lord Chaitanya's birth site and Lord Krishna's birth site, Navadvip and Vrindavan, where there are many pure devotees who have no desire other than to execute devotional service, anya bilashita shunyam jnana karma yanavritam. And one may thus become free from the bondage of material conditions. Other paths, such as the path of jnana and the path of karma, are not very profitable. Pious activities can elevate one to the higher planetary systems, and by speculative knowledge one can merge into the Brahman existence. But that is not real profit. For one has to come down again, even from the liberated condition of being merged in Brahman, and certainly one must come back down, one must come down from the heavenly kingdom. One should endeavour to go back home, back to Godhead. Yanti mad yajino bhimam. Otherwise, there is no difference between human life and the lives of jungle animals and birds. Animals and birds also have freedom, but because of their lower birth, they cannot use it. Taking advantage of all the facilities offered him, a human being who has taken birth in the land of Bharatvarsha should become a fully enlightened devotee and go back home, back to Godhead. This is the subject matter of the Krishna consciousness movement. The inhabitants of places other than Bharatvarsha have facilities for material enjoyment, but they do not have the same facility to take to Krishna consciousness. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has advised that one who has taken birth as a human being in Bharatvarsha must first realize himself as a part and parcel of Krishna, and after taking to Krishna consciousness, he must distribute this knowledge all over the world. So, therefore, Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has advised that one who has taken birth as a human being in Bharatvarsha must do two things. Right? What's the first thing? That Prabhupada is recommending here. The first thing that you should do if you're a resident of Bharatvarsha, or a resident anyway, really.
Become a devotee.
Yeah, become a devotee here. Realize himself as a part and parcel of Krishna. Atata Brahma Jigyasa. Right, we've got the human form of life. So what's the purpose of the human form of life? It's to understand Jigyasa, so to be inquisitive about. Ask the right kind of questions. Prabhupada explains in the Bhagavatam how the birds wake up in the morning and they're asking questions. Right? Where's the worm? Where's something to eat? Engaged in eating, sleeping, making, and defending, practically speaking. And so they're questioning. Their inquisitiveness is about just mere, you know, material maintenance, which has to be done. It's not that the devotees don't, the transcendentalists don't or aren't concerned about these things. They are, of course. But the prime necessity of the human form of life is to inquire into one's identity. We should know who we are, that we're not this body, that we're a spirit soul. And as a spirit soul, what are we? We're a servant. Everybody serves. This is the dharma of the living entity. But instead of just serving the tongue, the belly and the genitals, we should engage our mind and senses and intelligence in looking after our material facility or our material requirements to the minimum that's required. But the majority or the maximum amount of effort should be invested in understanding our spiritual identity. And as a servant of Krishna, the servant of God, what our service is. Understand what our relationship is, and then that will then automatically reveal what our what we should do. Okay, so what's the second thing? This is related to service. What's the second thing that Prabhupada recommends here?
Distribute the knowledge.
Yeah. Learn something, teach others. This is the motto of the VIHG. Prabhupada instructed Pujanguru to do. Learn something, teach others. This is our business. Sort of Prabhupada on his passport when he left India, what was his occupation? Teacher. There's a teacher. So Guru is a teacher. Right? So we learn the science of bhakti, if you like, or the science of devotional service. Was it Prabhupada's Mahavakya? That's my name was reading the other day. Prabhupada's Mahavakya. Two Mahavakyas. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and devotional service. which is a Prabhupada's translation of, I guess we could say Bhagavan, Bhagavan and Bhakti. Bhagavan and Bhakti. So, you know, our natural quality, our inherent nature is to serve. But most people, unfortunately, are behaving like animals. You know, in the uniform of life, we get this wonderful opportunity to realize our spiritual identity. You know, we have a material identity, that's this external covering. But the essential element of this apparatus is the opportunity to realize our spiritual identity. As an animal, you don't get that opportunity. You know, you can preach to the pigeons all day long. But what's he going to do? He's just going to hunt around the courtyard for some crumbs of prasadam and you know, foul everything up. Or, you know, human beings are fond of having dogs and cats. They think they're their best friend. But, you know, what is a dog or a cat interested in, essentially?
Right.
By a core, you know, just the basic core material activities they don't. And this is why Prabhupada mentions here, animals have freedom, right? They have freedom, but they can't take advantage of it because the form that they've got is restricted. You can talk to your dog all day long, but he'll just stick you in the face. And he's just tasting you, see what you taste like if he gets an opportunity to eat you. Hare Krishna. So, to realize and to appreciate and to take advantage of the human form is a unique opportunity. We should value it, not abuse it. The uniform of life is, sure, we have to look after the material facility. Our essential requirements, we have to eat. There's some sense gratification required. We need sleeping, we need protection. But the majority of effort or enterprise should be in identifying our spiritual identity, uncovering our spiritual identity, and then working on that platform. And then working on that platform, the recommendation is perform sankirtan. Sankirtan jagya. And it's very interesting. In this verse, Prabhupada says, he starts off talking about the sankirtan jagya, but there's no mention of even jagya in this verse. But Prabhupada identifies, you know, iha, this place. What are the opportunities that come? The most beneficial opportunity that can come to us is to meet the devotees. And this is the benefit of Bharat Vasha. Jantava. Those who have taken birth, Nijati, those who have got a human birth, especially. And here, Jantavaha, the living beings. But specifically the humans, right? What do they get in taking birth in Bharat Vasha? Jnana, knowledge, right? And Prabhupada says that, you know, anybody who's born in India automatically understands these principles of karma, that you're not the body, jnana. Right? That life is meant to be used for the proper purpose of sacrifice. And people understand, you know, that sinful activities or activities that will have a negative impact on our spiritual progress should be avoided. No meat-eating, no gambling, no intoxication, no illicit sex. You know, this is just principles that are automatically imbibed in the culture, but in the actual, you know, the spiritual culture of India, the Vedic culture. And you know, you see that people, you know, people understand these principles. You know, I always thought it was kind of cute, or certainly significant, that a person who's a meat-eater is called a non-vegetarian. Non-veg, when you get on the plane, you know, it's itchy straight away, because when you get on Air India, this is in the 80s, then I ask you, veg or non-veg? Huh? I said, they know. There's a distinction, automatically there's a distinction, and it's echoed or it's exhibited in the language. Right? So this is just, you know, this is the benefit of a birth in Bharat Varsha. Jnana, knowledge, is automatically imbibed. Karma, the right kind of activities. Dravya, the right facility, right? Ingredients here, the right ingredients, the right combination of ego, the right combination of mind, the right combination of material elements, activities and so forth, that naturally, if you are born in India or born in Bharat Varsha, you already know these things, right? One of the reasons why, when cultivating the Indian diaspora, it's easy in one sense. It's easy to it's easy to talk about bhakti. Right? Because people just know it automatically. I don't have to explain what a puja is, or what an arti is, or what japa is. I don't have to explain what karma is. What's karma? You know, people just, they just know it. Right? Reincarnation. Right? Just naturally people understand it. Whereas in a Western, so-called civilized world, Western world, you know, people don't even believe that God exists, or that the soul even, that there's a soul. No, when you die, that's it, finished. Forget about it. Right? Just enjoy your senses now, because at the end of life, you're finished. Right? This is the kind of commonly held beliefs. Whereas in India, you talk about even to anybody, effectively. So this is the advantage of Bharat Varsha, that one automatically imbibes an understanding of these principles, and it doesn't have to be taught, or we pick it up. It's picked up by just being part of the culture. And of course, Mahabharata, Ramayana, you know, it's just that the culture is steeped in spiritual understanding. So, once you take advantage of this human form, and so therefore, the call is Tato Brahma Jigyasa, be inquisitive about your spiritual life. And understand what the purpose is. Vidas Chasa Vaya Vaya Vidya. But that's been in which I have once, you know, maybe follow this learning and follow this culture so that one establishes one's relationship with Krishna, which Prabhupada says it is the first thing you do. This is the real purpose of life, is dedicate oneself to spiritual culture, spiritual emancipation. And then when one's when one's understands these principles, then one teaches it to others. Take advantage of what you've got, become expert in the process of bhakti, and by that cultivation, and Prabhupada says here, in the land of Bharatvarsha, one can very easily perform the Sankirtan Yajna, which consists of Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Vandanam, Archanam, Dasyam, Satyam, Atmanivedanam. So, you know, this is the process of bhakti, effectively. And it's interesting here that Prabhupada makes bhakti synonymous with Sankirtan. Sankirtan Yajna. Some people, you know, sometimes people say, oh, you know, that's just for the neophytes. For those who are advanced, they retire. Well, yes, maybe if you've got the point of samadhi, it's time to retire, you know, because, you know, the body just can't do anything anymore. Like, fair enough. But actually, we see even in sort of Prabhupada's example, and many of us don't have to do that. Retire or just chant Hare Krishna, because that would be too feeble. You know, even Prabhupada didn't do that in the last, you know, few months, because the body was incapable of functioning anymore. And so he retired. Unwillingly, though. But unwillingly, he still wanted to preach. Like Prabhupada says, I want to die like Arjuna on the battlefield. Which is noble. Right? Very noble. And it's a sign of advancement, great advancement. And it's very interesting. So Prabhupada continued to translate the Bhagavad Gita. Right? So he was performing Sankirtan. Right, Shravanam, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, right? Remembering. If you're doing Shravanam and Kirtanam, then what will happen? You naturally remember, right? And his service to his spiritual master, his Prabhupada's service was to publish books, which is Sankirtan, effectively, right? What are the books for? Well, we should read them for this, but they're meant to be given to others so they can read them as well and connect with Krishna. So this is the Sankirtan Yajna. And that's bhakti. At least Prabhupada has describe the Sankirtan Yajna with all of the items of the process of bhakti. Huh? And of course, there's another benefit of Bharatvarsha. There are so many places in India where one can associate with the devotees and learn, you know, what is, you know, how to perform bhakti. And Prabhupada mentions it here. Anya bilashita shunya jnana kamajana vitam. But this is the qualifications that one has to have in order to execute devotional service is that one needs to be free from desires for jnana and karma. which is translated into being elevated to the Brahman platform. Or being elevated to the heavenly planets, or to a place of, you know, facility and enjoyment in the material world. That's what the effort and exercise of karma yoga does. It elevates us, our material facility. But of course, Prabhupada makes a point here. The unfortunate thing about desires for karma and jnana means that we have to take both of you. So Prabhupada says he's no profit in doing that. No profit. Although, you know, modern society teaches us if you can enjoy your senses, that's all you need to do. Right? Whereas in Bhagavata, the opposite. Or this spiritual culture, the culture of bhakti, is cultivate knowledge, yes, jnana, but knowledge of bhakti. And that, what's the real benefit of existence? The real benefit of existence in the human form of life is become devotee, surrender to Krishna, and really benefit, because the benefit from bhakti is janmanayati puna, right? No more birth again in the material world. And that's the advantage, that having taken birth, you know, we shouldn't be so proud of our birth that we take birth again and again in Bharatvarsha, right? The real benefit of the birth, in the human form of life especially, and especially since Srila Prabhupada left Bharatvarsha to preach, right? And this is Lord Chaitanya's instruction. Lord Chaitanya's instruction, Prabhupada says in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that it's the duty of those who are born in India to become Krishna conscious and then go and preach. And this is the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's also the order of Krishna. Right? So, you know, Prabhupada and Bhagavatam and the Chaitanya Charitamrita and the Bhagavad Gita, you know, the Pancharatra and the Bhagavad Vidhi, Pancharatrika Vidhi, rules and regulations of deity worship, and the Bhagavad Vidhi, the process of basically Shravana Kirtan, and cultivation of real spiritual knowledge. These are meant for us to finish up material life. And how do we do that? Become fixed up, then preach. Right. Sankirtan Jagya. And, you know, the benefit, I guess, of the Bhagavad Gita is that there are so many places where we can go and associate with devotees. You know, we go to the holy places, the sacred places, to hear from the advanced devotees. This is what Prabhupada established, the Mayapur Festival. It's why devotees go to Vrindavan in Kartik, to hear from the devotees who have advanced in the practice of bhakti, that is bhakti that is always focused on serving Krishna, it's always being done for Krishna's pleasure. So anukulyena means it's favorable to Krishna. Now Prabhupada gives the example that Kamsa was always Krishna conscious. Kamsa was always thinking, and Krishna says, always think of me, but become my devotee. Right? Whereas Kamsa was always thinking of Krishna, but he wasn't a devotee. Right? So it's, a devotee is one who's always thinking favorably about about devotional service. Krishna is comfortable, he's always thinking about Krishna, and how to give it. He's always fearful of Krishna. So while he had, and of course, the benefit of it, in the end, he was killed by Krishna and was liberated. But that's not the standard of devotional service. Devotional service is that which is not motivated by personal gain. And of course, these are the things that can divert the devotees, especially in ISKCON. We become we're successful. We have material facility. Along with it comes influence, power, prestige. And we see in neophytes, they get distracted by position. They get distracted by the recognition of others. Distracted by advantages, effectively. So a good part of devotional practice and understanding the science of bhakti is to rise above that anatta nirvritti stage, or at least in the stage of clearing, right? Clearing. There are three stages of chanting. One is the offensive stage, and the second stage is the clearing stage, where one realizes, ooh, I have some attachments to anatta, that which is not essential. The essential element of my action should be to render devotional service to Krishna. But we can sometimes get caught up in making money or, you know, telling everybody what to do. I'm in charge around here. We experience these things. But the mood should be to render service. This is what, and free from these desires. Anya Abhilashita Shunya. So, you know, in many respects, the bhakti process is learning how to be a servant. Right? And that's, that comes. So Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, right, so hearing and chanting. Then Smaranam, remembering. Vandanam, offering prayers. Archanam, worshipping the deity. Right? And then Dasyam, as that's where you're at. You know, this Dasyam, Sakyam, becoming a friend. This is very elevated Bhava Bhakti and Atmanivedana. Of course, actually, Atmanivedana can be done at any stage. That means giving everything to Krishna. But you know, cultivating the mood of service. That's why, you know, Prabhupada's Mahavakya, Bhakti, translated into devotional service, is very, is relevant, is very important. And again, you know, this is the benefit of Bhagavad-gita. There are so many places where you can go. Prabhupada says here, Navadvipa and Vrindavan. But it's more than that. There's other lists where Prabhupada says, Rameshwaram, you know, this place, that Jagannath Puri, this one, that one. There's a whole list of where. Prabhupada doesn't mention it, but certainly, yes. You know, go to Tirupati. Right? What a pious place. Everybody's a devotee at Babaji. Everybody. Everybody. In that hot, in all of Andhra, you know, that's where people go. Everybody goes there. Once a year, once once in a lifetime at least. So you can see, how important that birth in Bharatvarsha is. There are just these places where the whole city is full of devotees. Of course, Kali Yuga is encroaching, and so when you go to places like Navadvip or Vrindavan, there's all weird kind of stuff going on as well. But that's why it's important we seek out, and of course this is what ISKCON's all about as well. And Prabhupada says it, this is the subject matter of the Krishna consciousness movement, right? And this is the importance of ISKCON, that we have to learn what the process of bhakti is, what the quality of bhakti has to be in order to be effective. In other words, anya pibhasita shunyam, without material motivation, without a desire for profit or prestige or even spiritual knowledge, if it's not focused on rendering service to the devotees, rendering service to the deities, so it's a science of self-realization. And it's what we do. It's our culture, if you like. And then learning how to give it to others. And that's not, for us, what is giving? It's basically, distributing books, chanting Hare Krishna, teaching people how to chant Hare Krishna. That's what's basically in the books, right? And education, a good, as Prabhupada said, his occupation is teacher. And that's what we do. That's in good part, that's what we should do. That's what Sankirtan is, right? Giving Krishna consciousness to others. And, establishing an educational institution where we teach Shuddha Bhakti. And, we do that by, introducing everybody to Prabhupada. Actually, the first thing, what we're recommended to do, what our law says is that in the first 6 months of introducing a person to Krishna consciousness, we introduce them to Srila Prabhupada. We teach them about Prabhupada's life, his history, who he is, what he did, why he did what he did, the importance of his role as the founder acharya. People say, oh, there are no pure devotees in this God. People say that, where are the pure devotees? Name them. Like, the pure devotees don't want to be named. They just do their service. They're not looking to be identified. That's anathema to do, And by teaching, by introducing people to Prabhupada, because Prabhupada is the epitome of the teachings of the Bhagavad Gita, the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the Bhagavad Gita, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Prabhupada is the embodiment. And Prabhupada says, at the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita, he lives forever by his divine instructions, and the follower lives with him. Right, so Prabhupada is with us in his teachings. It's quite unique that Prabhupada puts everything in his books. And those of us who are studying his books should be exemplars of what he taught. And in that way, Prabhupada is still with us, and pure devotional service is still with us. Okay, we may be in the clearing stage. Fine. We may even be in the offensive stage. As long as we stay in the association of the devotees, that'll all go in due course of time. No? Stay in the association of the devotees. And Prabhupada says, stay with me and I will kick out all the nonsense. Because if you stay with Prabhupada, as you're absorbing his instructions, and on every page of his of the books, he's telling us how to be a devotee right here. So that's very interesting, isn't it? Here's what you get out of good association, being born in the right place. Or even if you're not born in the right place, born in the wrong place, but still get the opportunity to do bhakti. It actually doesn't matter. Because, and this is the problem, you know, we become a little bit proud of being a devotee. I'm a devotee. And this is common feature of Kanishtha. This is not unusual. It's not unusual, and we should be embarrassed. Or maybe we should be embarrassed that we're Kanishthas. But, or you know, that we're not fully purified. But we shouldn't be surprised either. We've been in the material world for a long time and we've got habituated to some stupid stuff, which we think is normal. In Western culture, the norm is basically, according to Vedic culture, stupidity. This is normal. That you're chasing after material pursuits and that's the ideal and end all of life is normal. But the Vedic culture says, no, it is not normal. That is a waste of time. If that's all you do, right? We're not saying don't look after yourself, but look after your real self. That's the spirit entity, you know, the spirit soul. That's who we really are. Take away the spirit soul, what have you got? Nothing. Nothing, right? So, this is our business, proper. Well, book distribution, our business. But really, what is it? What is book distribution? What is it? It's the distribution of knowledge. Right? It's the distribution of knowledge. And real knowledge means this, the proper execution of devotional service. Anyadi Vasi Darshan, Jnana Kamajana Vritam, pure devotional service. And pure devotional service exercise or pursued under the auspices of the spiritual master. Right? That's the Prabhupada. Or any of his representatives. Any of Prabhupada's representatives who are teaching the same message are gurus. Because the purity is determined by how much our actions match our words. Right? This is very important. Our actions, in order to be more deeply effective, not that they're not effective, right? If we're repeating Prabhupada's instructions, but we may not be perfect ourselves, but because we're repeating the perfect instruction, the instruction remains intact, right? Ultimately coming from Krishna, through the Bhagavad Gita. Coming from the Vedas, coming from Vyasadeva, it's that message, even if it's delivered by somebody who's not perfect or completely perfect, the message is still intact because it's coming from the Parampara system. And so long as we try to faithfully represent and follow the instructions of the previous acharyas, then our teaching will have potency. Right? Prabhupada didn't say, you can't go on book distribution because you're not a pure devotee. You can't preach because you're not a pure devotee. You shouldn't do that. No. It's part of our purification to do that, actually. Right? To stay faithful to Prabhupada's instructions and then give them to others. And understand that's our process, that's actually our process, making spiritual advancement. And it is the epitome of, demonstration of love for Krishna and love for others. Right? This is why Lord Chaitanya is considered Namo Mahavadanyaya, the most magnificent. Avatar. What's that song? Paramakaruna. What is it? Paramakaruna. Sarashiromani, right? The topmost, the crest jewel, the topmost jewel. Sava Avatara, Sarashiromani. Kevala Ananda Kanda. Yes, the activity of preaching is actually blissful. So, we need to learn and then we need to teach. Right? That's really what's been said here. And so, if you're born in Bharatvarsha, the responsibility is, and even if you're not, because Prabhupada says, you know, it's the Indian's responsibility to preach. But he says, but I appreciate that the American and European boys and girls have assisted me. This is one of the reasons why Prabhupada left India. Because he was trying to encourage the Indian community to, you know, to give your sons and I'll turn them into Brahmins, get them to preach, right? And Prabhupada was meeting all sorts of the same things. Well, my Guru Maharaj told me to go and preach, so there must be some, there's a purpose in all of this, isn't it? And it's really interesting. The place where the facility is the greatest, people weren't taking advantage of it. So Prabhupada said, all right, my Guru said that I should go to the West and preach, so he did. And that's where he found those who were prepared to surrender everything to him. Interesting what eventually happened. And then Prabhupada said to them, your duty is to surrender and preach, to learn the process of bhakti and preach. And then he said, yes, Prabhupada, we'll do it. Right? That doesn't mean that it was without fault. Right? Because you know, we make so many mistakes. This is what people say, oh, this God, you make so many mistakes. Well, yes, that's true. But, you know, we don't focus, you know, Krishna is Gunagrahi. He looks at the good, not Adoshadachi, not at the bad, not at the discrepancies. And certainly we should learn from our mistakes and improve. You know, that's natural, right? But, you know, it's not unusual that people make mistakes. This is part of the faultiness of material existence, right? And of course we shouldn't think we're perfect, right? That's another feature of material existence. You know, we think we're perfect, and especially the Kanishna Adhikari, which I'm perfect and I don't make any mistakes. You know? Whereas a Majjhima Bhakta realizes, ooh, I make a few mistakes here, so let me be a little bit humble and ask the devotees, how can I serve? You know, what was it I needed to do? How can I serve you? That's the right move. And so long as that service attitude, that's what I said before, dasyam. The dasyam is the essential ingredient of bhakti, the first quality. And, you know, free from material motivation. That's what we're going to cultivate. And of course, we cultivate that shravanam, hearing, why Prabhupada established the Bhagavatam class. So that we learn how to hear. And Kirtanam, how to inquire also, so that we make progress. And in making progress, then give it to others. Okay, we're going to finish here. I think we've covered everything. Let's not be animals, although that may be, you know, difficult. Not so difficult. Because this is the thing, you know, human life, we get that opportunity to hear. And not only hear, but understand what we've been told. Right? Like I mentioned before, you can appreciate your dog to the cow somewhere. You're not the body, you're a spirit soul. Right? But it's just going to go around sniffing, you know. Sniffing, that's what dogs do. and throwing the bone off the grounds.
Chant to the dog.
You can chant to the dog. But why chant to the dog, you know? He'll automatically get benefit by eating prasadam and whatever. We should be, because you know, sometimes you see the devotees, oh, I want to feed the pigeons, you know, we need to be merciful to the pigeons, you know. And we sit and ask them, we say, no, stop feeding the pigeons, you know, they've already had enough prasadam already. You know, we don't have so many pigeons here now, but in the past we've had fat pigeons that can hardly fly because they've eaten so much prasadam. They have indelibly etched in their memory the you fly in the door here and then you go up the stairs and into the prasadam hall. And because, you know, somebody's too lazy to put away breakfast, they go up and eat breakfast. Prabhupada encouraged the devotees to eat so much prasadam, you know, that they waddle like a duck. But anyway, yes. Any comments or questions? Best is to listen to others, you know, hear others a bit more experienced teach, and then you'll learn, and you'll learn the techniques of presentation, and you'll learn eventually by trial and error, you'll learn the limits of your capacity, you know, what you can do, and you'll make mistakes. And that's okay, don't, you know, this is probably, you know, we think we've got to be perfect. But in the material world, realistically, everything and everyone is far from perfect. Becoming a perfect being, a perfect preacher, say, for example, a perfect Hare Krishna, even when you're perfect, you don't feel like you've actually made it. No? It takes time. And sometimes, you know, when we think, I'm doing pretty good now, got it together, and Krishna just trips you up. Whoop! Yeah, you think you're perfect, yeah, what about this? Then you realise, I'm just a fool. Yeah, so there is a certain degree of achievement in honest, you know, knowing the basics. There is. There's no doubt about that also. And that's what we should aspire for. Yeah. But don't worry about it. It's amazing how quickly time passes. And then you realise, ooh, I'm not, you know. And it, one of the things is when we're, you know, when you're flying in an aeroplane, right, relative to everybody else on the aeroplane, it looks like you're not going anywhere. Right, and it looks like sometimes you're not making any advance, but we're in the boat, and it feels like we're not going anywhere. But, you know, if you look outside the plane, you look at the ground, and you realise, ooh, I'm a long way up, and I'm going at speed. Right? It's just that it doesn't quite look like, you know, there's an illusion there. So the more we stay in the association of the devotion, the more we learn, and the more rapidly we make advancement. And, you know, compared to somebody who's much more advanced than we are, it doesn't look like we're making much progress, but compared to everybody else, we're going at the speed of an aeroplane at that altitude, so we're actually in a pretty rarefied atmosphere. It's just Maya's trick sometimes to make us think that we're not, I'm not making much advance from here, why am I doing this? You know, does it matter? Am I really making progress? Yeah, we are. Okay. Priya? Raj? Anything? No?
I just like that there's an instruction that Prabhupada says, I forget the words. Follow the wisdom.
He lives surrounded by his divine instructions, and the follower lives with him.
Yeah, that's incredible, because I only thought of that as Prabhupada and the spiritual master. I didn't think about it in terms of devotees and Prabhupada.
Yeah, that's what it is. That's what it is. We are living with Prabhupada when we follow his instructions. That's the transcendental science of bhakti. Not that, oh, you have to have a pure devotee, they're going to be. What, sitting right next to you or what? It means that they don't understand Prabhupada's potency. Or, not that we don't understand, we underappreciate Prabhupada's presence in the form of his instructions. And this is what Prabhupada spent very little time, 4 or 5 occasions with Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, right? And only had a few instructions, right? But Prabhupada said, you know, I never felt myself separated from my spiritual master. I was following his instructions. So we should take a bow today. Let's follow Prabhupada's instructions. We will be guided by a pure devotee. And I guess we'll get the benefit. All right. Come to us, Bhagavatam, Kijaya, Bhagavatam, Kijaya, Guru, Bhagavatam, Kijaya.